are carrying on in a series reading about letters that Peter wrote to the church. And it was a church that was suffering, that were following Jesus was really tough for them, and they were getting persecuted at the time. And Peter writes to encourage them. There are some times in the Bible where you hear people write to kind of, you know, discipline or whatever. This time he's writing to help them. He's writing to help them as a church. And we've heard through different series about he does this in different ways, through living hope, through reminding them how they can follow Jesus in their own lives, and through Christ's holiness and the holiness that we have because of him. And also reminds them that they will feel like foreigners, and that as we follow Jesus, often we will feel like we don't fit, and that's part of what it is to follow Jesus. So this morning, though, it gets sort of broader, and rather than looking into me following Jesus and what that looks like, Peter looks at the church. So if we imagine also he's speaking to us as a group here, as a church. And through the Bible, you might have heard or remember, there are different bits where the church is referred to help us sort of understand it a bit more, like the body of Christ, so the church being made up of lots of limbs coming together, or the bride of Christ, or the family of Christ. So we often call each other brothers and sisters because we follow the same God and we follow Jesus. And here we hear about a spiritual house. So this is the fourth bit where it's like us as a group. So we're built together as a spiritual house. So we're just going to read that now. So if you want to open your Bible, which is in the back of your chair, or just listen, it's fine. And it's page 1152. And if you go to chapter 2, verse 4. So I'm just going to read it out. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by human beings, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Now to you who believe, this stone is precious. But to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone that causes people to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." So I'm going to sort of roughly go through that. I don't know if you're like me. As soon as I hear something read out, I just switch off. So don't panic if that has just gone over your head. Hopefully we're going to just unpack it a bit, that at least there's something that God can speak to each of us through these verses. So do you remember at the beginning, well, not at the beginning, when he quotes Isaiah? So he quotes a bit from way back in the Old Testament where it's written about a cornerstone. And I don't really know what a cornerstone is, but now I do because I've researched for the sermon. Can you turn that on? So this is a cornerstone. I picked an old building, so it looked quite cool. And the cornerstone is the bit that is meant to be put in last, but apparently can be put in first, but also can be put in last. And it's the bit all the bricks are built around. So if you imagine, if you pulled that out, what would happen? Or this is, again, I don't know why I've picked old pictures, but I like them. But again, this block here, if you pulled it out, those bricks aren't going to stay. That's the corner there. And they're built around it. And we're told that Jesus, the one that is precious, is like the cornerstone. So this is a cornerstone of a library. So it's helping us. This is about its identity. It's showing everyone what this building is. So when we think of the church, of us as a group, yeah, we think about how does this relate to us. So imagine that cornerstone is Jesus. So what is built, we are the living stones, it says. Jesus is a living stone, and amazingly, we are as well. And we're being built together into the spiritual house with Jesus as the cornerstone. Now, if we had something else as the cornerstone, this is a library. This isn't a building that is about Jesus, is it? It's a library. But what we want our building to represent, to name, to be built around is Jesus and who he is and his character. God has planned this building. We're not here by mistake. He's planned it because, like an architect, he's the one that sees beyond. He's the one that goes before us. He's the one that plans. And as a group, he also, in this passage, gives us an extraordinary identity as a group. He says that we are a royal priesthood, a chosen people, and a holy nation. We're going to go into that more, but often the world, anyway, we all hear, like, be independent and get on with it, and if you've got a problem, you sort it out by yourself. But here he's reminding us, actually, it's not just about us. It's about us as a group, as a body, and that he's even named what that new identity looks like. A holy priesthood, a chosen people, and a holy nation. And like Jesus, we are called living stones. Bit strange analogy, I think. I don't know why. Just can't quite get my head around the stone bit. But we are called living stones. Okay, so I want you to look at this. This is St. Paul's Cathedral. Probably lots of you have been there. It's pretty much down the road. Now, when you look at this building, maybe even in the flesh, when you go up to it, you're probably not saying, oh, I love the bit of bricks here, or I love the bit of brickwork there. You're seeing this huge, extraordinary building full of different shapes that come together that make you kind of go, wow, who designed that? I couldn't design that, no way. Someone pretty special designed that. It makes us stop and look at it. And it's the same with us. Yes, we are individuals. But when we come together, when that brickwork comes together, it's what we represent together that creates something for people to stop and look at and to praise the designer of it. Even think of a simple wall, you know, just a wall on a you walk past. You don't go walking past and you're like, it's a good set of bricks there. You'd be like, oh, look at that wall, or it's falling down. Because it's come together, it's even got a different name. It's not a group of bricks, it's a wall, or it's a building. And it's the same with us. As we come together, we have this new identity that is a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a chosen people. And I just want to encourage even us today, and some people it might be your first time to Good Shepherd Mission. Some people were here the day it started. I don't even know when that was, but quite a while ago. I think I've been here quite a few years now. Feels like quite a long time for me. And I feel it's a privilege to be a part of this spiritual house, because I do believe that our cornerstone looks like Jesus. When we make decisions as a church, whether we get them a bit right or a bit wrong, we're trying to do it so it looks like Jesus. And my family aren't Christian, and I love telling them about what we do as a church, because I think it looks extraordinary. And I think it looks beautiful, and I think it makes them think and go, wow, gosh, there's something more than just a group of people there. There's something bigger happening. And my prayer is it makes them wonder, maybe there's a God. Why would those people act like that? So I think we're doing pretty well. And in this chapter, so there's quite a lot of analogies, aren't there, of buildings, and I'm just going to keep going with them. And I think that Peter uses this theme, which is also in other parts of the Bible, because God is our ultimate creator, an architect, and he wants his kingdom, which is the place where he is king, to grow. And we're part of that, living stones. Imagine the architect, and he's sort of built this bit. It's not going to be like, oh, well, it's pretty good, leave it there. You know, he's building because he sees a bigger vision, and he sees what he's doing. Even if the builder building it couldn't see it, there was a bigger plan. But we're also warned in this passage that there are many people who build but they don't have Jesus as the cornerstone. And actually, he trips them up and just makes life pretty miserable for them because they don't want what he's got. They don't see what he's offering and they don't want to follow him. And this is a building called... I'm going to try and forward it now. Yeah, the Ronin Building. Has anyone heard of this? Edward Moody? It's a building that collapsed in East London in 1968. And it was Ivy Hodge, a 56-year-old cake decorator living on the 18th floor, got up early to make herself a cup of tea, lit a match, and there was a big gas explosion that went through all the joints connecting the building, and the building completely fell down. Now, the building was actually, was brand new. It had been sort of built and ready for 5 days when it had collapsed. This is not an old building. But when they built it, they didn't put the right things in place. They had rebuilt... They hadn't put the right structure in place that could hold the vision of what it was, which was to house people. And it fell. And we are told again that those, in the Bible it says, where those who refuse to look at Jesus as the cornerstone will only see him as a stumbling block. But we remember that Jesus himself, he was rejected, wasn't he? His life wasn't easy. Wonder which building his life looked like or was meant to look like. Peter himself, as some people will know, he even rejected Jesus. He was like, oh, I don't know him at certain points. And the people at the time who were around Jesus, you know, they had a plan. They knew what sort of thing they wanted to build, and they wanted a big king, a warrior who was going to beat everyone and claim their nation. They had a plan, but it wasn't God's plan, was it? And so they rejected Jesus. They rejected who he was. They rejected God's plan. And like all structures that don't have him, it didn't last. This didn't last. Our structures without Jesus, they'll last a while. They could even last many years. But they won't last for eternity. And Jesus is explicit himself. In Matthew, don't you remember the parable of the talents? And he talks about a guy who's a landowner. And he sends his servants back. And the people who are working on the land, they kill them. And he's like, look, I know I'm going to send my son. Then they'll realize I'm serious. And they just kill his son as well. And Jesus is very straight that when we reject him, there are consequences. And Peter is telling this church that, yes, you are going through hard times. But so did Jesus. But that does not mean that he is not who he says he is. In fact, it's quite normal to be rejected when we follow Jesus, that Jesus himself was as well. But if we don't dare, if we walk away, if we don't dare to keep him as the cornerstone, our plans will come tumbling down. And this is another building that is the Hotel New York. That was a bank, it was really smart in Singapore, a nightclub and a hotel. And when it collapsed, again, it wasn't old, it was a new building. From 60 seconds, the whole thing collapsed. All six stories. And they found out when they did an investigation, the reason that it collapsed was because they had not, when they'd done all the designing, they'd not looked at the dead load, which is the actual weight of the building. So they'd not put into the equation, okay, how heavy is this building? Can it hold itself up? You know, it's not made of, you know, cotton wool. It's a heavy building. And they just had not designed it well. And so it couldn't even hold itself up. And in 60 seconds, the whole thing came crashing down, and it was doomed from the beginning. And when we design anything, even if it is for God, and we do it, but we do it without Jesus as a cornerstone, our plans will not be strong enough. They will not hold up. And in Psalm 127, we're reminded, unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. We can work really hard for God, but if it isn't God's plan, if Jesus isn't the cornerstone, we're going to miss something. And we use our own designs, don't we? And I'm the first to say, I like a shortcut. But actually, when we do that, when we're only interested like this in the outside of the building, that it looks shiny, and in the image that it gives off. It's disastrous. It's about what these bricks are built of. And what Peter is highlighting now is that, yes, Jesus was rejected by men, like the church that he was writing to, but he was ultimately exalted by God. I feel like we need some light in here. It feels really dark. Turn the light on. I'm not allowed to fall asleep. Okay. About halfway through. We've got another about 10 minutes, so eyes on me, everyone. Okay. So does anyone remember what I said that we were called? I'm just going to do some interaction here. Keep us awake. What? Living stones, yeah. What else are we called as a group? Holy priesthood, royal priesthood. Now, who here really recognizes, following Jesus, that you are royal? Bit nuts. Who's ever been like, yeah, I'm royal? Seriously, because I have. I love it. Has anyone here? Because if you're following Jesus, you are royal. Emmanuel, do you think you are royal? Yeah. Kelly, are you royal? You are. Guys, because we are related to the king, we are part of his royal family. And it's really hard to get our head round, but we are part of a royal priesthood. Now, the priesthood in the Old Testament, very quickly, it was you had to be born into this special tribe, into the tribe of Levi. You were consecrated for God. It was all like really full on. And they served God and they had the authority of the main high priest. But because Jesus, this is very quick, came to the cross, he changed. Everything shifted. Everything is different. Now we are all priests. All of us that follow Jesus, that say he is Lord. We are now priests. We are a royal. We are part of his family. And our identity, you are a royal priest. We are royal, part of a royal priesthood. So yeah, when we don't fit in this world, too right we don't fit in this world. We're part of a royal priesthood. That is extraordinary. You ask your neighbour if they're royal. No wonder we don't fit in. And part of this identity, so part of us being priests now, Peter describes that to us, what that might look like a bit. And it's not, we know it's not about earning this. We can't earn it. Jesus died on the cross for us, okay? He did it for us. But I think in this, he's describing to us, as a royal priesthood, what that will look like. So he's saying, as a royal priesthood, this is what it looks like. And one of the things he talks about, which Daz talked about, was about sacrifices. And he says that we will offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Christ. Through Christ, not through because we are perfect. Through him, we're asked to give spiritual sacrifices. Now, I'm going to say these really quickly, but I think just to get our head around, there is something asked of us to be part of this. But I've actually given the Bible references that you can look at in your home groups and go through that a bit more. But there are four things that being a priest means. So sacrifice with our bodies, sacrifice with praise of our lips, sacrifice as we do good works for others, and sacrifice in God's service. So there's all different ways. I mean, we could do a sermon on each of those, to be honest, but I'm trying to keep you awake. And these ways that we serve, these ways that we do that, that's like the brickwork, okay? That's like all our different bricks. That's how they're joined together. So you can see there are bits, they need restoring. You could just leave it. You could do a really botched job. You could pretend there are no problems and shove a little bit of cement in, and it's going to look pretty bad. It's not going to look very exciting to the world, that's for sure. But we do have to care how we are together. We don't want it to look like this. But we also have to acknowledge that we have to do some work. You know, buildings need work. I've just had one chimney stack down on my house because it was falling into the house. And if I just ignored it, which I have done for 8 years, it's been dangerous for that long. but recently I just spent money and actually got it taken down because it was about to collapse into the house. But, you know, there could have been a disaster. My whole house could have been completely wrecked if it had fallen through. I needed to repair that. It's part of, it's like we were saying, the church, the limbs, were part of the same body, were part of the same spiritual house. And how we look after each other is really important. We need to be prepared to help repair the body, help repair the spiritual house when we need to. And that we come together in unity matters. So in this church, that obviously we're going to have loads of different opinions on stuff, aren't we? And some of those will be spiritual, some of those will be how we interact. But what comes down to it is that we are a spiritual house. And the things that really matter, that we believe in Jesus Christ, that we believe that he rose again, that we believe that he died for our sins, those are the things we've got to come together on. And in unity, then we build this. The other thing that, so apart from sacrifice, how we live, repairing that, the second is how we are a royal priesthood. Now, back in the day when it wasn't a royal priesthood, when they were priests in like massive robes, okay, they would go into this like temple. They were obviously not like the average person on the street, were they? They looked different, where they went was different, how they came in front of God was different. But now it's a bit harder for us because we kind of blend in, don't we? We're not wearing special clothes. We don't go into a special place to worship. We're here. Anyone can come in here, which is great. And we all can come in front of Jesus. But there is something in being a royal priesthood to acknowledge that we are different and that we should be different and that we should be set aside. We shouldn't just do as everyone else does. We need to be asking God what that looks like, what our lives look like. As a body, what do our lives look like? And as I was thinking of this, I was thinking, yeah, you know, we've got Jesus as the cornerstone, and we can read again and again about the amazing things of what he's done and who he is. And we can say we want to be like that. We want to represent that. But I wonder if you asked a friend at school or a friend at work what they think of the church, what they would say. I don't know if they've been here, and you can ask them what they would think of this church, or the broad church, or the history of the church. Does it look like Jesus? Or does it look like some religious group that no one else can be a part of? Does our church look like the character of Jesus? Is it something that makes people stop? Sorry, it's not a very great photo. But is it something that makes people stop and say, wow, gosh, who built that? Who designed that? So when people look at this at St. Paul's Cathedral, the architect is Christopher Wren. So he's acknowledged, isn't he? He is the designer. No one else could do what he did. It's not the bricklayer. It's not even the individual bricks. It's the designer that is remembered because of this building. And we need to care for each other and individuals in our church, not for our own glory, but for the greater glory of God, the true architect and designer. So, coming into Landish now. Chosen people, citizens of the same nation. That is also what we are. Chosen people, citizens of the same nation. Now, there are no coincidences with God. He is like way above us, way ahead of us. He plans things, not like me. And he planned, this is a plan for St. Paul's Cathedral. It would have been planned in such detail. I mean, this is probably not such a detailed picture. But like that, we are a chosen people. It's not fluke that God has made a way for us. It's not fluke or coincidence that we're together. God has a plan for his church and a plan for his kingdom. And we only get to see a part of it. But he has written, he has planned the whole thing. And we come together from different backgrounds, different countries, different cultures, different ways that we live our life, even different sort of ways that we worship and follow Jesus. But we also come together under the same plan, if we dare, that we know that Jesus Christ died for us on the cross. And in accepting this undeserved gift, we are part of God's chosen people, his overall design, and everything changes. We're no longer alone. We don't have to question who we are. We are royal. We are part of a priesthood. And as Peter writes this, he encourages the church and us that through God's mercy, the whole world has shifted. Dimensions have changed. And when we go about making day-to-day decisions and how we respond to someone, how we are at work, how we do things, we can think, actually, we're living stones, part of a spiritual house, part of a building. And as we dare to rub shoulders with each other and look and see each other and help each other, people are going to see the beauty that God has created. A beauty different from anything man alone can design. So that they might point to each other and say, isn't that amazing? What a glorious and holy God. They'll look past us and they see him. So his final plan isn't one of a building like St. Paul's Cathedral. That is beautiful and may last for many, many decades. His plan is one of a kingdom that carries on for eternity, and it is built with Christ as the cornerstone. We, each of us, and as a body, we are made for now, right now. We have to be relevant right now. But we are also made for eternity. We're made forever. We are created for his kingdom as royal priests, and we're in a privileged place because we did not earn it. We've been given that. So don't worry if this design that we're in doesn't fit the world around us, because we're designed by an architect who isn't from this world. His designs are going to be different, and he is the only one that we need to be concerned about fitting in with. Our hope alone is to seek to love and to care for each other, offering spiritual sacrifices that serve him through Christ, so that we are part of a building, a spiritual house, that will draw ourselves and others to see the blueprint of life and the true creator, that is Christ himself. And to build for any other reason has no true purpose.